Hi, I'm Dino Tripodis. Tonight, the libation road less traveled can still be a tasty one. We go on a libation vacation tonight on Whiskey Business with the mad scientist of Columbus Distillers, Chad Kessler, and author and award-winning bartender Jesse Hubbard. All of it tonight and rum on Whiskey Business. Hi, I'm Dino Tripodis, and welcome to Whiskey Business, a podcast not so much about whiskey as it is one with whiskey. And well, that little catchphrase of ours could stand to be very, very true tonight, as this is the first night ever in the history of Whiskey Business that we are actually drinking something other than whiskey for a very special reason, which I'll explain here in just a little bit. Actually, I'll explain it right now.
What are you waiting for?
Because I have something else prepared that I need to get into, which I will. But Chad Kessler from 451 Spirits is with us tonight. I call him the mad scientist of Columbus Distillers here. He does amazing things with, I'll let him explain it more so. But one of those amazing things tonight is a new rum that will be released soon that he's worked on in collaboration with our good friend and frequent flyer on Whiskey Business, Jesse Hubbard. I'm putting an author now in front of award-winning bartender.
That's nice.
That makes me sound really fancy.
Right? Doesn't it though? So that's a little something extra.
I got to admit, I like it.
Yeah, we had you on. We had you on when the book was out. It's like award-winning bartender stands on its own, but author and award-winning bartender.
Wait till the book wins awards, and then it'll be award-winning book, author, and bartender.
Award-winning book guy, maker thing.
Yeah. Okay, not very well written.
I don't read good.
But let me just go through this little piece right here, because I think it helps explain a little bit why we've veered off the whiskey path. This is my drinking history, okay?
Okay.
I want to tell you my drinking history. Let me see here. At 11 years of age, wine and ouzo.
Okay.
When I was living in Greece, all right? High school, 3-2 beer, all right? Yeah, living in Ohio. Robin Hood cream ales after that. Little King cream ales.
Little King, I've had those.
Annie Green Springs wine, Boone's Farm wine. Mad Dog 2020,
nice.
If you can call that wine as well. Lambrusco, 7-7s in high school. In college, beer, lots of beer. Pot, mushroom, nope. That's a drug list. That's an entirely different list. Never mind. Gin in college. Scotch for a long, long time. Then Jack Daniels / into bourbon. What's missing off of that? Vodka? And rum, mm-hmm. which I have had, I call those vacation liquors.
Okay.
Those are my vacation liquors. When I go on vacation, I go to Vegas, I'll have, vodka in the morning, a screwdriver in the morning, or rum, or if I'm going to a tropical island,
right.
I'll let them fix me up some sort of fun rum
mojito.
Drink. But as a drink, as a daily drink, no, I'm not a big vodka or rum drinker. But tonight, on Whiskey Business, and before we get to it, Hansberry has to do a little business. We are going to be talking about a brand new rum that the two of you have put together. That the base of it is this bottle right here. This is the Rag and Bone rum. Is this what the new coffee rum will be a part of?
Yeah, so it's the same base rum as Pipe Dream, my regular aged rum.
Right,
but we're gonna infuse it with coffee. It's very straightforward. But delicious.
Yes. I have no doubt, because the stuff that this guy comes up with, we'll get into detail on how you two conspired to come up with something together in just a little moment. But Jesse Hubbard and Chad Kessler and this new coffee room, which will have a release party coming up here on August the 27th. We'll tell you more about that after Hansberry does a little bit of business.
That's Whiskey good. Business is the podcast, not so much about whiskey as it is one with rum tonight. WhiskeyBusinessPod.com is our website where you can find archives, photographs, a bunch of Dino's writings, a bunch of fun videos that John's made. That's a good place to start. If you are watching our podcast right now on YouTube, Whiskey Business with Dino Tripodis, thank you very much. Make sure you hit the subscribe button and then smash the little bell right there and you'll get a notification whenever we get a new episode up. If you are watching it, don't forget, you can always listen to the podcast on your favorite podcasting app. If you're listening to the podcast, thank you. And you can always watch the podcast on YouTube. I'm confused.
I don't know. Is he on it?
John's following me, so I think I'm all right.
Our podcast family, Evergreen Podcast Network.
Not yet. Thank you to Evergreen, our podcast parents. And we haven't been kicked off yet, so thank you guys.
Not yet.
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Everything. It's out there wherever you get your favorites. Also, a couple of notes. Want to thank Gatto's Pizza.
Yes.
On 3420 Indianola Avenue in Columbus, Ohio. 263-3737 is the number for being the official pizza of the Whiskey Business Podcast. There are some slices in the other room if you guys get hungry throughout the evening.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll do this in my
homemade sausage.
In my faux 1960s radio voice when you put the hand over your ear. Yeah. Gotta get a pizza? Gotta get a Gatto's. While the getting is good. Got it? Gatto's. Wow, thank you. And a couple of apologies. On the last podcast, you can't really see it very well, but the tat is there from our podcast at Tat Franklin with Matt Franklin. And while we were saying Tat Franklin, the restaurant, T-A-T, Restaurante, popped into my head, and I mistakenly said that they were closed. They did close for a minute when some lady drove her car into the restaurant, and they had to shut down for a couple of months to repair it. But since then, they are back. They are open, and they are not closed. So TAT Restaurante on the east side of town is still open and making delicious Italian food. I wrote apology explanation on Instagram, but I'm actually saying it again on the podcast
To get a spot at the tattoo parlor, it was like November 2023. I'm pretty sure the restaurant, you could probably get in this weekend.
You could probably get in this weekend at TAT Restaurant.
Just give it a shot.
So my apology to the friends out there at TAT who are still making great Italian food. Here we go. Welcome, gentlemen. I want to start, Jesse. You've been a freaking flyer on the show. We'll chat a whole lot with you in a second. But initially, I want to start, and I also want to apologize to Chad Kessler as well, because we've talked about getting him on the podcast for like the last 3.5 years, and we haven't. We've gotten, you know, we say it and then we talk about it and forget about it, and then something comes up and we go, oh wait, we got to get him on. And then something else comes up, and this guest comes up, and that guest comes up. Now we finally have you on. And I'm thrilled to have you. So thank you, and I apologize.
I don't answer phone calls.
I know. Maybe it took this magical pairing to make it all happen. But let's talk about 451 Spirits for a second. How long have they been around, and why'd you even start it?
2014. I know that because the date is stamped on the still.
Yeah.
So that's a reminder. I can look at that and be like, there, that's an anchor in time. But started it, just wanted to see more creativity in distilling. I worked at Weiland's for 5 years in beer and liquor, and I'm just a nerd at heart. And so anytime it was slow, I was always on the computer learning how things were made, why they taste the way they do, how you make those different flavors. Got lucky, found some partners to back me, that believed in what I was trying to do. Like, let's make new stuff. Let's not make bourbon. Love bourbon. Plenty of people make bourbon.
Right.
But I want to make new stuff. And people believed in me. Fast forward to now, they've all since moved on. It's just me, and the space has gotten weirder and weirder. Now it's circled around to like art gallery, practice space.
So what do you call the spirits that you put out? Because a lot of them, like, this is a rum, and there are other things. There are whiskeys.
Yeah, they're whiskeys, but they're not like... They're not a bourbon. They're not scotch. Like,
no, they're not.
Like, what kind of whiskey is it?
Well,
like,
one of my favorites is Dear Johnny.
Yeah, that's like kind of on the shelf at the moment. So that was the first thing I created, but people didn't understand it because it uses apples in it.
Right.
And people are like, well, it's apple. Like, is it going to be like Crown Apple? And I'm like, no. It's smoky. It tastes like a cross between a smoky scotch and an American whiskey.
Right.
So I put out Bone Shaker, my second whiskey, without the apple, just to be like, here's just my regular whiskey.
Which is also good.
So it's not to confuse you. And a lot of it just has to do with like labeling laws and stuff. And
all right.
Yeah.
What'd you throw the pizza in for a late night slice?
That was my first experimental release. I'm a huge fan of mezcal. You said you don't like tequila.
Well, I didn't say I didn't like tequila. Obviously, I liked tequila at one point, but I had a bad experience okay. with it.
So mezcal is like tequila's great grandpa.
Right.
There's a style of mezcal called pechuga, which means from the chest. And they'll put
that's pretty
seasonal,
much where I started heaving it.
Yeah. But they'll put seasonal fruit and nuts in the still and then tie a chicken breast up in the neck of the still.
What?
And as you run the still, the alcoholic steam cooks the chicken and imparts like a savory note. And I was just joking my friends one day. He's like, you know, if you look at me, I don't eat a lot of steamed chicken. Like, what should I put in the still? So instead of pechuga, I came up with pizza pechuga. And literally just threw a few slices of pizza in there and then bumped up the flavors with like sun-dried tomato, garlic, basil, pep, and parm. And then hit up Mikey's. I was like, you guys do off-the-wall pizzas. You don't know me, but I made this ridiculous spirit. Do you want to collaborate? And they were on board. And I was like, yeah, let me ride your coattails.
Sure,
nobody
sure,
knows
sure,
about
sure.
me.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. and that's, you know, when I think of 151, that's the first thing that pops
how,
in my head.
How was it received?
I'm on batch 7 now, so
okay.
It was meant to be a one-time joke. So,
and you've repeated that joke 7 times, so
yeah.
I don't think it's funny anymore.
I'm also an award-winning bartender.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you are, aren't you?
I am. Ann and Blair's I'm Not Really a Bartender competition.
Oh.
Just to make people drink this, just to be a smartass. And I made a drink called Fight Me. So pineapple and pizza is yay or nay for most people.
Uh-huh.
What year was that you did that? Like pre-pandemic.
Like
2016,
17?
I don't
remember.
It's been a minute.
Like
the first
I have no
did
concept of time.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I made like a pineapple pizza margarita but with vodka as the base, the pizza-flavored
right.
vodka. And then garnished it with a wedge of pizza and grilled pineapple. And I felt bad as I knew one of the other bartenders, and he took home bartending like really serious.
Right.
I was like, sorry, Doug, you should have gave the judges snacks.
Yeah. Okay, so award-winning, two award-winning bartenders. So how did you two cross paths? Jesse, I'll let you answer that question.
You know, it's funny. I was sitting here thinking about how we first met, and I truly don't remember. I feel like we've probably known each other since I've been here in Columbus, but probably a mix of just the bar, spirit world, and also through music. You know,
I just met you at you were at the Westin.
Yeah,
the time.
Is that where we first met?
Yeah,
yeah, you're right because you came in and we
just
were talking.
On a
yep.
sales call.
Yep.
Never met you before.
Yeah,
and then the more we talked, and then
we realized we had a lot in common.
Came out with the book, and I was like, oh shit, like we
yeah.
have a lot in common.
Yeah, Chad was really cool. He was a big supporter of the book when it came out, which I really appreciate. And we just got a lot of the same bands that we're into and stuff like that, and just. Cool kind of like weird creative ideas, and it just made sense to work together.
To work together,
yeah.
Well, and speaking of bands, do you have a band? You're in a band because you said, you know, you were rehearsing and one of the neighbors was getting upset. Is this something you just do for fun, or is there an actual band out there?
No, I'm a drummer, so any drummers out there know you're either in zero bands or like 5 bands at the same time. So my current band that's playing at the release party is Ted Danson, after the actor. It's kind of a country cowpunk.
There's got to be a reason it's called Ted Danson.
I don't know. I joined the band after it was formed.
After it was formed.
Know
you never asked?
Why.
You
didn't
have no curiosity whatsoever.
I was like, I like this music. I'll play.
But never asked, like, why is it called Ted Danson?
Yeah.
You're not a very inquisitive person, are you?
Yeah, I'm like, tell me what to play. Are we playing? All right. That's how the song goes. All right, cool. Let's go. But I've done benefit shows with a friend of mine, Scuba Steve and the Rum Runners, and we just do cover shows. I mentioned earlier before we started about the Stones versus Beatles cover
right.
thing.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm also in a long-running joke. It's my longest-running band, like an electronic noise ridiculous band called Czechs for Sex. Like
Czechs?
Czechoslovakia, but also writing a check.
For sex.
It's my most successful band, and it's ridiculous. We don't practice. We don't write anything.
No.
We just plug in our gear, drink too much, and
have at
look
it.
Stupid.
Yeah. Sometimes the most random things are what like people
sounds
gravitate
yeah,
fun.
To. Right
over
my alley.
Years,
yeah.
It's been through so many bands, and over the years, people are like, oh, I'm like, hey, my band's playing. Like, Czechs for Sex? I'm like, no, my real band. The one that I can write music for. They're like, well, when's Czechs for Sex playing?
Love it.
Like, I don't
love
know
it.
When somebody asks us to.
to whatever. And everybody answers the call. Hey, we got a gig, and everybody
we
shows up.
We play next week if you want.
if you want. If you want.
Kid's birthday party? All right.
Oh, yeah, man.
There you go. All
right. So you guys meet each other. You talk and so forth. You have a lot in common. The music, et cetera, et cetera. So, and I know, Jesse, that, you know, you've been successfully, you know, moving on past your skill set, which is, like I said, award-winning bartender. You've won. I've lost track of the accolades and the awards that you won over the years. And then you stepped out of your comfort zone and you wrote that great book.
Thanks, ma'am.
Which is doing very well. And I know you're working on another book.
I am.
So what was the motivation to step into the spirit world and actually create something? Is it because you've created so many cocktails of your own?
I mean, honestly, the inspiration was as simple as, like, he and I were buddies already,
mm-hmm.
and I just want to do projects and be a part of projects that excite me. You know what I mean? And this was something that we just started talking about it like over a year ago, honestly. Kind of started talking about the different styles of coffee that we wanted. We're working with Thunderkiss on that, which is a great local roastery. And, you know, tried some different barrels, some different batches of the rum. And it just kind of sort of, you know, kept, you know, coming along, you know, we postponed it a little bit, just to some life happens as it does, but that's really at the end of the day, you know, I am trying to move on past just the bartending and gravitate more toward things that, you know, excite me. Usually they have some combination of music and or spirits,
mm-hmm.
right? And this is kind of what this is for us. It's a combination of those things. Because here's the spirit that we've been working on, and we're having this really cool release party at the end of the month on August 27th, which is going to have live bands, art, you know, cocktails. We're going to be releasing this. So it all kind of comes together in that way.
So confirm what I was saying earlier. Is the name, what's the name of the rum you guys are creating going to be called?
Rag and Bone.
So this is the actual name.
That is the label. So that's not necessarily going to be the final presentation.
It's not going to be taped on.
It is punk rock.
This is the prototype. We're
coming under the wire on getting labels ordered.
You're getting everything before anybody else here on Whiskey Business. This is like, this is very cool.
But that's what the labels are.
So why Rag and Bone? I'm always intrigued by names.
You know, it was a long process, actually. That was one of the hardest parts, I think, for me. I don't know about you, but
I hate naming stuff.
Yeah, like I
well,
like
you do, you, yeah. You do it so well.
He does.
Yeah,
he does.
I still hate it though.
He does.
Like, I'm an artist too, and like people are like, what's the name for that piece mean? I'm like, I just had to scribble something on the back of it. I don't know.
Five cats named Cat.
What?
Five cats named Cat.
No, but it was a lot of back and forth and working on names, and we came close and we were trying to do something music related, and so much of it just ended up sounding like corny or some sort of like Mountain Dew energy drink or some shit like that,
right.
You know, and it just didn't really, it didn't make sense. And probably late spring or whatever, I was on a road trip and we was going back and forth texting, you know what I mean?
Threw out some names and I was like, I don't hate that one. That's the way I name stuff.
All right.
I'm like, I can't tell you what I like. I can tell you what I don't like. So if you throw names at me, I'm like, no,
maybe.
I knew whenever I threw something to him and he said, I don't hate that. And I'm like, uh-oh, we're on to something
okay,
here.
Okay, so where did Rag and Bone come from? I mean, obviously, what you were just throwing out words that there's got to be a birth story in there somewhere to how it came about.
So, yeah, it kind of started with music and then we started going different directions with it and kind of thinking like, kind of a hodgepodge, mishmash kind of things and ideas and kind of rough around the edges, blue collar, you know, kind of these different ways to describe, I think, both of us as people and our projects that we do and it just sort of was born from that, I think. Mm-hmm. And then I think I was probably the one that came up with the name. He was definitely the one that came up with the image and it just worked together. And here we are.
Go ahead.
Yeah. You had the name, and I had to look it up to see what it meant. And it was the people that would, like, what essentially today are, like, scrappers.
Yeah.
Just finding bits and pieces and like trying to turn it into something new.
Okay, there's the story. That's what I'm talking about.
And it's got a picture of a guy with like a rickshaw.
It's rag and bone, not rags and bones.
Correct. Yeah.
That'd be two bottles.
No, that'd be
that's if you want two rags and two bones.
More rags and more bones. So rag and bone, singular.
Yeah. Like a rag and bone man kind of
like
thing.
Like a rag and bone man. Yeah. Okay, see if I keep digging. I'll get what I'm looking for.
There
God damn it.
So there you go.
We'll post pictures on our social media, of course, too.
Now, this is not the final product. This is the rum that is going to be infused with the coffee. The
correct.
Coffee from Thunder Kiss Roastery. Roastery, is that here in Columbus?
Mm-hmm.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. And what kind of coffee is going into this? Is it a special blend? Is it something they made originally for you for this particular bottle?
So what we did initially was got together with Jason, the owner of Thunder Kiss over at 451, and tried a bunch of different blends. And we decided, I think at that time that we can kind of change from batch to batch which blend what we want to use at any given time. Do you remember the name of the one that we decided on? I remember the roast.
It was
like a medium roast with notes of had like subtle chocolate in there as well, which I thought was kind of, we both agreed, all of us, it was unanimous. Like we all liked this combination the most.
We tried like five different
roasts. Different roasts that he brought in that he thought specifically could be the best options for this.
And was it like you say the roast? Were they the beans? Did he already have the coffee brewed, or what did he like? What did he bring to the
beans.
Table?
Yeah. Roasted beans, and we essentially infused
from
it
like
with
light to dark, mm-hmm. and different varietals and stuff.
But they do everything. So we tried different processes to do this. I mean, you know, he does cold brew, and they're just blending it with the coffee, and then obviously, you know, Chad, we leaned on his expertise to kind of figure out the best way to extract the flavor. And I think ultimately we came down to just, you know, from the beans itself, right?
Which is,
I mean, that's just really the best way.
Well, I call him the mad scientist of distillers here in Columbus because he's constantly experimenting. How many attempts did it take before you came across the one?
Not as many as you think. I mean, we ended up going back to one of the very earliest ones that we tried. We kept going down the line and trying other ones. Like, it's not quite it. It was still that first or second one. You know, I think it was the second one we tried, if I'm not mistaken. And we kept, you know, going down the line and it's still that one, you know. So we hit it pretty early, but we just wanted to keep going to make sure
that was it. Yeah,
that is it. And like, is everybody, are we all, like all three of us on board with this?
You get different flavors from all the different roasts.
Yeah.
Which anyone that's into coffee knows that. Like when you get real into coffee,
right,
you start figuring out like different roasts, different origins.
Well, okay, say this is a big success. It's the world's best seller. Is it like a whiskey barrel where you're never going to quite get the same flavor again? Or, you know what I mean? I don't know enough about coffee beans.
You're never going to have the exact same flavor. But the way where we're aging the rum separately and then doing the infusion, it would be fairly consistent.
All right.
That's something I've always had people ask me about, like, just with the distillery as a whole.
And I think
it's like, well, what makes batch to batch like consistent? And I'm like, I taste and smell every batch and blend it to make sure it's, I don't want it to be exactly the same. Ideally, it's going to be an improvement. Every batch is going to be slightly better.
Yeah.
All right. So this particular bottle of rum right here that we're going to try, you suggested that we try it neat at first because you said ice would definitely change its flavor and consistency.
Yeah. When you cool down spirits, it like closes down.
Right.
The aromas of
yeah, it closes down because that's interesting. Because with whiskey drinkers, everybody and scotch drinkers, they say a little bit of ice opens it up, and you say
a little bit of water will open it.
Open it up.
Ice, once you cool it, like chemically, it just like kind of shuts it down. So if the whiskey's harsh,
mad scientist.
If the whiskey's harsh, ice is great because it just kills all the bad components.
There you go. See, once
again, a little bit of like room temperature water will open it up.
A little bit of drop
and,
of water.
Like, whiskey, like people that blend like on the scale of like Jim Beam or Jack or someone, a lot of them will taste diluted down to like 20 or 30% alcohol. Like,
right.
Just to make sure they're tasting every component.
What happens if you pour more whiskey into the whiskey? What does that do?
That just makes it better. That just makes it.
I'm not a formal chemist.
More whiskey makes it more whiskey. So what are we going to be tasting and looking for? Not, I know nothing about rums, you know, per
you
se.
Tell me,
so.
Rum's wild because there aren't a lot of rules to call something rum. So bourbon has to be mostly corn, has to be aged in new American oak,
right?
Has to be distilled to a certain proof. The only rule to call something rum is it has to be made from sugarcane.
Okay.
So it can be molasses, which is what mine is. It can be fresh pressed sugarcane juice, which is going to give you more like kind of grassy vegetable flavor. But this is molasses, double distilled, and aged in new American oak. And so you get some like deeper, darker flavors. It drinks more like a whiskey than it does what people think of when they think of rum.
Interesting. So
I don't add sugar to it. A lot of people add, like Captain Morgan has so much sugar added to it. It's really more of a liqueur
right.
than a rum. There's no sugar added. Okay. I love pouring it for whiskey drinkers.
What do you think, Johnny?
I like it.
You like it?
Yeah.
Hansberry, you said you had an issue with rum.
No, well, I used to. It tastes, from a whiskey taster's profile, it's like a butterscotch whiskey.
We're not going to leave until you drink the whole bottle, Hansberry.
Let's go! But no. I see. I get a little bit of that buttery. I don't know about butterscotch, but buttery. Speaking of great bartenders, you happen to be doing this podcast while my daughter is visiting from New York City.
Yes.
And I'd like her to try to taste this a little bit as well before it's all said and done this evening. Will you do that for me?
Right now?
If you want to right now, you could take a little sip.
She's
drinking a bottle of wine.
She's drinking wine right now. She's going to change.
Before that, a martini.
That's my kid.
All over the board.
I heard the shaker in the back in the kitchen. I'm like, who's making it? That's the only time
you'll hear a shaker in motion in this house. Because you know me, I put ice in a glass and I have at it.
Or was it at least gin and a reasonable amount of vermouth?
She's not a big vermouth fan.
I don't like vermouth.
Ugh! That's not a martini.
Just gin.
Yes, it is.
Going off the rails real quick.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, China.
Nice save.
But yeah, she'll try it as well.
Yeah, that'd be great. Look forward to
it. Yeah, she runs a joint up in, not a joint. Actually.
A joint.
It's a joint. She runs an iconic rock and roll bar in New York called Arlene's Grocery.
I love it.
Yeah, and so
she's right up both your alleys.
Paid the rent, bartending her ass off over the years as well.
Next time we go out to New York fairly often. Next time we're out that way.
Next time
I'll reach
you
gotta
out check
and,
out.
I'll come by.
Dig, where's Arlene's Grocery at?
95 Stanton Street. On the Lower East Side of New York City.
Lower East Side of New York City.
Okay.
All right.
Soul.
So check it out.
Been there. It's almost 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the last remaining iconic rock and roll venue standing in Manhattan.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Wow.
Makes sense.
They're all gone.
Everything else is gone. John Hills, Kenny's passed away, everything, but Arlene's is it.
Arlene's is still
very
cooking.
Yeah. All right.
Yep. And after the pandemic, they asked her to come back to run it, and she's been kicking butt. I see videos of lines out the door. And are you booking the bands too?
I am. Charge of production.
You're in charge of production, yeah.
I produce the shows.
Yeah.
But this is really good. It does drink like a whiskey, you're right.
Thank you.
It's really good.
There you go.
You want to book my band?
When you said you were in every band, I have a really good drummer friend that says the exact same thing.
Yeah, that's
funny. On Instagram, it's just meme after meme of being like, hey, you're a good drummer. You want to be in my band?
And my favorite meme was there's one with like the classic guy with like the beanie and a cigarette hanging out of his face. And hey, we need a drummer for a band. I'm already in five bands. You're in six now.
I will tell you this must be good rum because I know my daughter, and if she said it, if she would have thought it was she would have said it was she would have.
I definitely appreciate honesty, so don't tiptoe around me.
Wait till we're off the air.
Off the podcast. She says and all of a sudden
it smells pure, but it doesn't go down hard. Does that make sense? Like, it's not like, oof, you don't have to make a face when you're drinking it.
Yeah.
Holy shit, can I say that?
Yeah, you can say it. We've said worse.
She's going to get fired from the restaurant.
Yeah, there you go. All right. It tastes pure. That's a good word. That's a good word because
it's clean.
You know.
Everything I make, I don't add adulterants to like anything I do. I don't add sugar. I don't add like glycerin to like smooth it out. Like, everything is from the start
created. All right, so
so you don't need to mix it up with anything.
Let's have some fun for a second. Let me ask you, what's the worst thing? What's the worst thing you've ever made that you said, "Oh my God, this is what was the an attempt you made at making something and it just no matter what you did, it just sucked."
I mean, I tried making like a sushi gin before.
A sushi gin?
Yeah. That was pretty awful.
A sushi gin?
Yeah.
That doesn't even know. No. I mean, I shouldn't say no because I wouldn't have thought that pizza and whatever you mixed up would go together as well, but that ended up working. But
yeah, try everything. That bottle's still floating around the shop.
I would try it.
Degraded like nori paper in the bottle. Like,
what possessed you to even come up with those
gin,
two?
Like, if you think about gin,
I like gin.
And you think about the nuance and subtlety in sushi, it made sense at the time.
Uh-huh.
If there ever were a mainstream liquor that would go with sushi, I feel like gin. Yeah, I get it.
But it was a total failure.
How many times did you try to make it
Just once.
Just one time.
I was like, nope, not that.
Once was enough.
It was bad enough if you didn't want to keep going.
And do you have favorites out of the stuff that you've made over the years?
People always ask that, and I'm like, they're all my kids.
Yeah, right. They ask me the same thing about whiskey.
The absurdity of the pizza one, like, that shouldn't exist in the world. This should not be here. And I pulled it off, and I got federal approval, and people keep buying it. So, like, I'm really proud of that. Like, once I got that out, I was like, she just retired. There's nowhere to go from here. Like,
retire.
There you go.
36 or whatever.
Pizza booze later. I'm done.
Pizza booze. I'm at it. That's it. Yeah. Now what? What is now what? What's next? What's next?
Working on kind of tiki inspired gin.
Okay.
So my regular gin, Clawfoot, took me a year to get the recipe dialed in, and so I just about a month and a half ago started on my second gin, and I expect it to take another year to get the recipe figured out.
And I'll ask you both this, Jesse. There seemed to be, I don't know if it's still going on, but for a minute there seemed to be a gin renaissance of sorts in the last few years. Did that take off, and is that still climbing, or did it kind of taper off and level out? Everybody was bourbon, and all of a sudden I saw gin starting to make a comeback.
I'd be interested to hear your perspective because it's slightly different sides of it that we see, but I mean, it's still moving, you know, like everything was kind of put on pause a little bit with the pandemic.
Right.
And I think that there are trends with some lesser known, more obscure spirits and techniques with the cocktail world, but we kind of picked right back up, I think,
right?
Gin and whiskey and everything going where it is. And I think gin still has this, gin to me is almost like the hipster spirit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And there's this association of it being kind of like really cool and hip, and you're really in the know if you know all these different types of gins and the subtleties and this, that, and the other. I like gin fine. It's certainly not one of my favorites, so I don't pretend to be an authority on the topic. I'm much more of a, as you know, a whiskey, bourbon kind of guy.
Right.
But, gin's still popular. It's still popping off, and people are into it.
And thank you as well. Jesse brought us a gift bottle
of
Jefferson's straight rye whiskey in cognac casks, which sounds
real sweet.
Very intriguing.
Straight from Kentucky.
Straight from Kentucky. That's awesome. Thank you.
I don't know that you can't get it in stores in Ohio. But
I haven't seen it on the shelves anywhere.
I haven't seen it.
And Chad, you got merch, obviously galore. He also brought a 451
nice
spirits. I could wear this. It's an extra large. I'll look fat in it, but I'll wear it.
Now, Chad, don't you do the art for the?
No. Okay. People always ask that, like, "Oh, you're an artist. You do all the art for your labels." Like, no, I quickly learned there's a huge difference between being an artist and a graphic designer.
Uh-huh.
So I curate the labels, and I'm getting ready to do, a big rebrand, of all of my spirits. And I think I'm going to go the route I did with my vodka. My vodka just has three different artists. One was me, because it's one less person I had to pay.
Right.
Not because I wanted to put cheap my stuff labor out there. I was like, all right, that's one less person I have to pay. But every batch of vodka is going to have new artists on it. And I'm thinking about going the same route with all my other spirits and like just opening it up, like people like enter to create a label based on the old labels, but their own take on it. They'll get paid for that label. When that batch is done, I'll pick new artists. We'll do a new thing.
It's like, remember when Jones Soda was like so popular?
Yeah, exactly.
It's
exactly.
Like, oh, it's got so cool
pictures.
It's
exactly the Jones Soda model. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm actually on a Jones bottle.
No shit. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
My friend shot a picture of me skateboarding. And,
you're on a Jones bottle?
Yeah.
That's your claim to fame?
Yeah, that's my claim to fame.
One of them?
One of them?
One of them.
I was ready to retire then. It didn't work out. I had to go on to make pizza vodka.
I blew all the Jones. Still. I blew all the Jones soda money.
Residual part of these.
Still trying to retire.
All right. So I'm going to ask you both a life question. You know, you started this in 2014. Here we are, 2022. Are you pleased with where you're at? I mean, as far as did it exceed your expectations at this point? Or, you know, do you see bigger growth? And what's the plan? What's the dream? Where do you want it to go? Because you strike me, and I mean this in the best way possible, and sometimes I wish at my age I still had that mindset. You seem to care but not care where it's going. In a way, like if this doesn't work out, I'll figure out the next thing.
That's very on point. I've told people that. I'm like, worst case scenario, if this doesn't work out, I'm employable elsewhere. Like, I can go work for another distillery, clock out at the end of the day, not have to think about things.
Right.
Plus your six bands.
My goal was never to like start an empire or like take over the world. Like at the end of the day, I'm like, I want to make cool stuff that I'm proud of. I want to make art. I want to make music. And then I just want to go home and hang out with my family. Like, that's all I really want. I don't want to be rich. I don't care about being rich. As long as everything I need is covered.
But aren't you kind of rich in life?
Rich in spirit.
Rich in spirit. No, I mean, as I've gotten older in life, there's something to be said about being rich in spirit.
There absolutely is, but it's hard to tell whether you're being serious or not.
No, I know.
This
is the major shift in attitude. There, I do believe in being rich in spirit. I know that because I've gone through periods of times where I have been poor in spirit. So I definitely know the difference. And you know as well as I do that can happen in life. You know we go through that. We go through those moments. You were very candid on social media about struggles that you were going through at a period in your life. You were very open and honest, and I read those and I said, wow, that's ballsy and that took guts. And you seem to be in a much better place.
I am. Thank you for the kind words. And I think it all kind of gave me some clarity. I was dealing with some anxiety and depression and just a lot of things came together in a really nasty cocktail, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I stepped away from the bar service spirits world for about 6 months.
You were missed.
Thanks. Thank you. That means more than you know. Thank you. But during that time, I kind of tried to get my mind right and figure out what was important to me and what I wanted out of life. And my wife Christina was just like amazing, just a rock. You know what I mean? Like
she's here tonight too.
She is here tonight. Yeah. So is she smiling?
She's smiling. Okay. The only time I saw her frown tonight is when you bought 3 different tickets to 3 different Bruce Springsteen concerts.
She's just as excited to go to those as me.
That's what she says.
I think she frowned when you said you tried to get New York and New Jersey as well. I think that's what she actually
probably
frowned.
Yeah.
As well she should have.
You never have too much Bruce in your life. Just kind of, taking that time away and really trying to clear my head and figure out what's important. And that's one of the things, coming out on the other side and I'm really fortunate for my friendships, that you guys here and so many other people that are important to me in my life. And I just want to do things that excite me, things that I'm passionate about, I'll make some money. But
sure.
The most important thing is I'm only going to say yes to things I believe in. And like, I have so much respect for this guy right here. And I'm so excited to be doing this with him. And this is something I'm like, to have the ability to be able to, in my own small part, be a part of this and have the St. Russell Productions logo on these bottles and, you know, and leaning on him with his expertise. I mean, this is awesome. This is something that I'm so excited about. And, you know, in other projects that I'm doing, it's just, if they don't make you feel good, I don't want to do it. You know, yeah. I mean, if I don't believe in it and I'm not working with good people, then I don't want to do it. And those are the things that I'm going to move forward in my life focusing on.
It seems to me like when I met you, you were this great bartender. And then I continued to see how great of a bartender you were. But it seems like in life, sometimes we get a call and sometimes we ignore that call. And when I say call, I almost mean a muse in a sense of the word. And sometimes we're not ready to accept that call or act on that muse. And like when I first met you, you seemed like you were happy to be a great bartender and end of story. So when did you start to recognize that muse? When did you start to say, I want to answer that call?
I think it's always been there. You got to remember that before I started bartending, I had what I consider my first career in radio.
Right.
And I did on-air stuff. That. And then I was a producer. And I was in some small-time crappy bands. But, you know, like, I always had the love of that, of the music world being there.
Yeah, Trains. Like, you worked on Trains.
I worked on Trains, one of my
favorite podcasts, God Rest the Soul, was with your father on here. That to me, is still one of the sweetest and greatest podcasts that we've ever had on Whiskey Business.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I was looking at the pictures from it earlier today.
Yeah.
Just kind of getting ready for the show. And I was like, man, that was fun. I was like, he was sitting right here.
Yeah,
right here where I'm sitting right now. Right.
I feel the same way about that podcast, and I hope you do too. I feel the same way about that podcast since it's on both audio and video, that I hope you treasure that as much as I treasure the podcast that's on audio and video with my mother.
Yes.
When my mother was 82 at the time when we did the podcast, she just turned 86. God bless her. I'm going to go see her in another week or so down in Florida. But I remember after that podcast was over, I like, wow, this is a piece of history that I'll be able to keep forever and look back on and be so happy that I have it, you know? And
that's exactly how I feel.
Yeah.
So I'm very grateful to you and everybody with Whiskey Business here. That's is beautiful time capsule, you know?
Yeah, and good word for it.
And Dad still looked good.
Yeah.
He looked like himself and he was himself, you know? And I mean, just
four months
later.
He was busting our balls.
He was still very much himself. Four months later, he was gone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know.
And he was still himself then. And so to have that, to be able to share that with the family, you know what I mean? Like, I was honored to be a part of that. That podcast wasn't about me. You know what I mean? And it was about Dad and the other gentleman whose name escapes me.
Dan Skinner. We were talking about prostate cancer.
Wonderful guy. Wonderful guy. I was just honored to be a part of that little panel. And it's special. I do. It's precious.
I don't mean to put you on the spot when I ask this question, but where's the hat?
The hat is, so the hats.
I gave him a hat.
Little context. So when Dad started losing his hair because of some of the treatments. And Dino gave him a Sinatra hat.
Right.
Right? It was like one of those cool, old-school looking hats.
Fedora? Is that what you call it?
Yeah. It's like a fedora, yeah. Okay. My dad loved that. He wore it all the time. I have that hanging right by the door in my office.
Awesome.
It's very special. Every time I enter and leave, I see it right there. And I think of Dad. I think of you. I think of your friendship. I think of all those beautiful memories.
I'm glad that the hat lives on.
The hat lives on. I don't dare wear it because I don't think I'm worthy.
You know what?
I don't think I can pull it off either.
You know what? And also, you're like me. You got a really big head. So, but I have a big head, so I think the hat will fit you.
I have to get adjustable hats. It's growing. I don't know what's happening. But
no, you should wear the hat sometime. But you know what? You'll wear it when you're ready, and you'll know when it's time.
Yeah. Okay.
You'll know. You'll know when that. Well, you'll know when you get that call.
That's true.
You'll know when you get that call and put that
on.
Awesome.
I feel like I didn't answer your question. What was the question?
Like we do on this podcast, it goes down a lot of rabbit holes.
Yeah,
the question was about answering that call. When was that muse?
Yeah. So the desire and the love had always been there, right? But I had to build up my confidence and I had to believe that people would care. Right. So I was fortunate. I bartended for a while. I never cared about really being known for being a good bartender or this, that, or the other. I was just happy doing my thing and making my money. We moved here and I just kind of, through some conversations with some people, decided maybe I'd have something to offer, you know? So the book idea was there. The idea that I wanted to, you know, someday do something like this was, you know, was like pipe dream, you know,
right?
And you know, the desire was there, but I had to build up confidence, and you know, people, I'm very grateful for this, started to care about some of the stuff that I was doing, and I gained a little bit of an audience for that. And then so I feel, you know, the time is right to start going after some of those goals, like putting things out there that, you know, to really be a part of things as opposed to just existing in that world. Now, you know, through my relationships and things of that nature, I can put things out there that exist that will almost, you start thinking about legacy and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you right? do. You know, what are you gonna leave behind?
So much of it happened, you know, when my father was sick,
mm-hmm.
and that's when I really started thinking about that stuff.
Puts, you know, things into perspective.
What's his legacy? I know what his legacy is. You know what I mean? The greatest man I've ever known. What's my legacy? I want to be more than just somebody who existed in this world and maybe was liked and maybe worked hard, but what's going to be out there? What am I going to put out there? And those are all things that matter.
Isn't it interesting, though, if that was all that it was, that you were liked, loved, and respected? You know, some people would consider that to be a legacy all of its own.
It is. And that's a beautiful legacy to leave. I didn't want to grow old and feel like I didn't live up to my potential, that I left something on the table. So yeah. Whatever I achieve and whatever I go after, I want to know that I did my best. And I didn't leave it there.
Dude, I completely understand that because we're I'm a little older than both of you.
Not much.
No, much. Much.
Times two.
you're like Uncle Dino. You know what yeah. I mean? Just a little bit. Just
hey,
a little bit.
Uncle Dean. But I think about that all the time. I still think about that, you know? And I think about what at this point in life, I think not about so much about my next chapter, but I'm curious about what the last chapter is going to be because I'm getting to that point. And granted, I expect that last chapter to take a long time to unfold, but when it's all said and done, you know, I still want one more thing. Maybe that's just the creative nature, Chad, to always want to have one more thing.
Yeah.
To always, you
You're
know.
Always chasing. We've never, like, got into things like you were just talking about, but, like, just wanting to give back what has been given to you. Like, we've never spoken about this,
yeah,
but we're definitely on the same page with that.
Well, welcome to whiskey business because it happens.
Chad, are you cool with your parents?
Yeah. Yeah. We can go on and on about my parents. I have all my teen angst because my parents were super cool and were driving me to skate parks and punk rock shows when I was like 12 years old. So
that's cool.
I had nothing to rebel against.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you were deprived of those rebellious years.
Yeah,
it's like I didn't get tattoos because my parents wanted me to.
Yeah, I did it the opposite way. I didn't smoke pot because my dad said it was okay.
Dad's like, do some drugs about it. I'm like, nah.
Yeah. I went the other way.
Have you heard the new Celine Dion, Mom?
Oh, man.
I love it.
No, do you want to talk about the benefit charity aspect?
Oh, yeah, I was going to bring that up. Yeah.
Because that's something that we talked a lot about early on. I was hyped when you brought it up.
Yeah, so we're still trying to figure out the logistics, but there for the event, there will be a charitable aspect to it. We are having a bunch of vendors. So it's August 27th at Natalie's in Grandview. A bunch of vendors coming in and just friends. You know, we want people that we admire and that we enjoy and come and set up, and one of them is going to be an organization called Punksgiving.
Punksgiving,
and they do a lot of really good work. You know, it's rooted in the punk scene, but they raise money for food drives, you know, cancer research, things like that. We're hoping to get out Punk Rock Saves Lives as well, if they're available. We're still waiting to hear back, but they're friends, and they're out of Denver, Colorado, and they do things nationally. They go, like, you know, Lollapalooza, they go on tour with Flogging Molly, all these big things, and they raise money for women's health and women's rights.
Awesome.
They're a beautiful organization.
Especially right now.
Right now.
Right now, especially. Yeah.
They raise money for cancer research.
Ugh.
So there's a lot of that.
Don't get me started on that.
Yeah. No kidding. But so what we're also wanting to do is, and I don't know that I can say definitively, but we want to figure out a charitable avenue for this. We're trying to figure out, either through the bottle sales or through the event itself, some aspect that we can do to raise money for cancer research and mental health.
He says he lit a cigarette. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, no. Hey. But so, just like, I know, you know, cancer affects everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something everybody can relate to. And I know, you know, Chad and I both feel that mental health is very important.
I,
you know,
totally as on well. Board so with the mental health.
We're trying to figure that out, but we want to, you know, to your point of giving back, we want to try to do our part to raise some awareness, but also raise money.
Yeah.
To fight these things, and you know.
And I'm not going to apologize for asking you some of the questions I said earlier in respects to a lot of the mental health things that you went through. I only bring them up because I've gone through the same thing.
You never have to apologize, man. I can talk about any of that with you.
I've gone through them myself. And yeah. I think it's more important to share those moments, and especially when you've gotten past those moments, because there's people who are struggling with those moments that seem like they can't get past them. So I think to hear stories where you struggled with those demons and rose above them, I think is a positive message that I will put out on this podcast any chance I can get.
Yeah, kudos to you for that. It's something that when you're in it, sometimes you're like, I don't know how I'm going to get through this.
Oh, yeah.
And then lo and behold, you do. It doesn't mean you won't have moments like that again in your life.
Oh, no. The demons are always hanging around waiting for a weak moment to fucking grab you by the balls and drag you right back down.
But you know you can do it.
Yeah.
Like, I've done it.
Yeah.
And like, damn it, I'll do it again if I have to. You know what I mean? So I try to be as open about that as possible. And he was one of the first people that I met with after I took some time away. We sat and had coffee and just like talked. I appreciate his friendship very much as I do you guys as well. But that's just one of the things. Like, Chad's he's just been a good friend, and he's one of the first people that reached out after I posted that stuff on social media. He got a hold of me outside of the world of social media and opened up a little bit. You know, and I think...
See, that's where you and I are different. You put it out there, and that's brave. I don't think I could put something like that out there. And maybe that's one of my faults, is that I don't... I'm going to deal with this, maybe with some close friends, but
it's hard, man.
Not the world.
Well, I mean, you know, I was like, what, 40 years old at the time. It wasn't new. I had been dealing with this for as long as I had memories in some form or another. So it wasn't like all of, you know, like it popped up and I immediately shared it. It was hard. There was a time in my life when I was embarrassed to talk about my struggles with mental health.
No, I get it.
And it was something that I talked with Christina about, and I talked with my therapist about, and I said that I thought that it would be helpful for me, because I know a lot of people were wondering, like, you know, what's up with Jesse? He's not himself. You know what I mean? He's not quite himself. And people knew that I was struggling with the loss of my father, but you know, I was off my game. I knew I was, and I wanted to explain to people, like, if I haven't been there for you as a friend, or I haven't been the person that you know, if I've been distracted, here's why. And also, I wanted to share it because I feel like it would be a good step to get that awful shit off my shoulders and they put it out there. But then I had a moment 5 minutes after, I was like, oh shit. Now, almost everybody that knows me knows they're like, Jesse's a little effed up.
We already knew ahead of time, by the way.
But here's a big news bulletin that's not. We're all a little effed up.
Yeah.
Some of us are just a little bit more open about it. Myself. But yeah, we're all effed up. Yeah. We're all effed up. Are you effed up?
Oh yeah, totally. I went to my first therapist meeting 2 weeks ago.
Did you? First time?
Ever.
Good for you, dude. Yeah, for real.
How'd that go?
That's awesome, man. It felt great. Like, my girl's amazing, and she listens to me, and is very tolerant of all my bullshit, but she's like, you need to go talk to someone.
Because there's objectivity there. You could talk to a friend till the cows come home, but they don't have, even though they try... They don't have objectivity as opposed to a complete stranger who is listening to you professionally and knows what to hear and what to listen for and key on that. I mean, I could talk to you till the cows come home and give you my perspectives, but because I like you and because we're friends, I'm not going to have 100% objectivity when I'm thinking and answering and so forth. So, yeah, good for you. I personally, over the years, have worn out therapists. I mean, That's why I fought it so long.
No, it's like, no. I just pictured like Goodwill Hunting and being like,
I actually had one that said, you know what, you are, that's it. We've reached my level of expertise. You need to, I need to, rec- here's, oh. Go see this person.
That, like I did it. I beat the main boss.
Yeah, that's right. It's like a video game. That's great.
I remember that. I remember that day exactly. I think I've told this story on the podcast before, but when the guy that told me said, I need to recommend you to somebody else. And he reached in to his desk and he was pulling something out. I go, is that my file? And he goes, no, this is your drawer. And I went, oh, okay, all right, well done.
Right. Sounds like my detention file in high school.
Yeah, right, exactly. So good for you, man. Good for you.
Thanks,
all right,
buddy.
First of all, let me just, kudos again. This is awesome. This is sweet. I don't want to put ice in this tonight. I'm enjoying this just as it. You want? Oh, look at Hansberry. He's over it. He's over it. Look what you've done. You fixed him. You
like
fixed
it.
Him.
I like it.
You fixed his rum issues. Yeah. Okay. All right. A little splash over there. It's very good. I'm telling you what, it's real good. I'm going to have a little extra. You want more of your own?
I'm good.
You're good? Yeah, I know where to get it.
I
know where
it's
to get it.
It's got a giant, like, 50-gallon still of it.
All right, so the event is 8:27. Okay. All right. The night of this podcast is 8:04. This is the rum that the infusion is going to happen with. Are we going to be ready? 8:27?
We better be.
Now we got a deadline, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think
we have everything in place except the labels. We got to get the labels.
Yeah,
not this one. It was just taped off.
If push comes to shove, I'll tape labels on.
We'll do what we got to do to get it out there.
I got a guy at Scotch. Let me know.
There you go. Yeah, the event is August 27th at Natalie's in Grandview. We're going to be releasing this. Tickets are $15 to get in to see some of the amazing bands that we've got.
Bands,
performing.
Plural? Who we got playing?
Man, we've got Ted Danson.
You got Ted Danson? Oh, yeah. We have a chance to see Ted Danson?
Yeah.
The Ted Danson.
I'm excited.
Band? All right.
Palette Knife, She Bears, and Coxie's Army, all different varieties of rock. Punk, pop rock, a little bit kind of alt country, a variety.
8:27. What night's that fall on?
Saturday.
That's Saturday night? Perfect.
Saturday night. Yeah, so that gets you in the door to see the bands. We're going to be releasing this. We're going to be having cocktails with it. We're going to be having some local artists, local vendors doing everything from, like, you know, rock and roll kind of t-shirts, some of the charitable aspects. It's just going to be a really
good way to close out the month of August.
Yeah.
Before Ohio State football kicks into gear.
That factors into the game,
And you lose some participants. So, that sounds like a great party to kick off.
Yeah, we want to invite everybody out.
And
it's going to be fun.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, gentlemen, I can't thank you enough for your candor this evening, your fun, your enthusiasm, your honesty. Thank you, Mr. Kessler. It was a pleasure to finally have you on the podcast. If anything else amazing shows up with 451 Spirits, you have an open invitation to come back and talk about it.
We need to do a show at your space. Your studio alone sounds awesome.
Well, that's
awesome.
The other thing, too. I want to mention that. Thank you, because I was going to mention that, and I got sidetracked. You offer tours of 451.
Yeah, I don't do formal tours anymore.
No?
That closed down when the pandemic hit.
I got you.
And, frankly, I was getting burnt out on it.
Okay.
Because it was like four times a week, an hour-long spiel, like a class. And I was like, did I say that today or yesterday? I don't remember. So now I'm like, this is when we're open.
Schmucks.
Drop in and
research.
Talk to me. Look around at my weird space. You want to talk about music? We can talk about music. You want to talk about booze? Talk about art? Whatever.
That's how it was with me. I just
kind of
walked to the door. I was like, you guys are open? He's like, sure, come on.
Since all my business partners have moved on, I'm like, this is my weird space. Come hang out. We can talk about whatever.
It's a super cool space.
It is a super cool space.
I love it. Like, we were talking earlier about, like, just goals and, like, what you want out of life and stuff.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of times I have to, like, step back and, like, remind myself. I'm like, I literally make booze, art, and music for a living. Like, this is what I do. Like, I don't have a lot of money, but this is pretty great.
Once again, rich in life. Yeah. I think that's our takeaway this evening. So, gentlemen, salute, everybody. Yeah, cheers. Much success. on the benefit night, and much success in the future. Once the coffee gets infused in this, I think it'll be even more amazing. I can't wait to try it when it's actually all finished and done.
We'll get you some.
Just real quick, one last question about the coffee.
Goddamn right you're going to give me some.
When you infuse coffee into cocktails or beers or whatever, what about the caffeine content? Does it keep you up all night, like they say?
Is that what you're worried about?
I just don't want to drink it late on a school night.
If you're drinking an espresso martini, then yeah. Because it's like legit straight espresso.
Okay, but like that, I'm just curious. Is there coffee? Like, do you want me to cut this question
out? I'm not that qualified of a scientist.
But yeah, it has caffeine in it.
It's caffeine.
I've always been curious about that.
It depends on how you're doing it. So I can speak more to the cocktail element. You know, if you're just a little bit of infusion and that's an ingredient, then yeah, but it's not nothing crazy.
Right.
I work with you 5 days a week in the morning.
Yeah.
You could use some more caffeine.
I'll bring some espresso martinis in. Didn't I bring espresso martinis in one time in the morning?
I don't remember.
All right. We're going to wrap things up. August the 27th, Natalie's in Grandview. If you're in the Columbus, Ohio area, please come check out that benefit tonight and the debut of Rag and Bone, the rum, coffee-infused rum. Check that out. Hansberry, a little bit more business before I say the final goodbyes. That's yes. Right.
Real quick, website for 451 or social media?
451spirits.com. Sam across the board, Facebook and Instagram.
St. Russell Production, Jesse?
StRussellProductions.com and also St. Russell Productions on Instagram.
You can find the book there and everything. And then did you say where you could buy tickets to the event, to the release party?
So you can buy them through the NatalieGrandview.com website.
Cool.
There's a button their event calendar.
Perfect. And we are at WhiskeyBusinessPod.com, where you can find all the archives and everything else. Thank you for subscribing on your favorite podcasting app. When you smash that subscribe button and do a 5-star rating and a review, it helps other people find us.
There you go.
Thank you. Somebody laughed at that.
I think he's laughing at the fact that you actually sound very professional and like you know what you're talking about.
It's because I only drank a couple sips of rum this evening.
I think it's good.
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Whiskey Business with Dina Tripodis. You can find all of our fun videos there. And thanks to Evergreen Podcast Network, our parent company.
Our parent company. All right. Whiskey Business is a Never the Luck production, produced on the audio side by the always more than capable Greg Hansberry. Maybe there's more to this.
That's not me. That's my father.
Greg Hansberry. On the video side, on John Whitney, who just got off a plane from Oklahoma tonight and still made it to the podcast this evening.
That's dedication
right there. Could not do this without the two of those gentlemen involved. Trust me. My name is Dieter Tripodis. Always a pleasure. Until the next bottle. See you.
Well done, gentlemen.
Thanks, guys.
You know, a lot can happen in 7 minutes, and luckily, that's how long it takes me to tell a story. My name is Aaron Calafato, and I'm the creator of 7-Minute Stories. I'm proud to partner with Evergreen Podcasts, and I'd like to invite you to join me on this journey. I'm going to take you on some crazy roller coaster rides using my unique extemporaneous storytelling style. And together, we're going to try to make sense of the world, all through the art of storytelling and all in approximately 7 minutes.